regards to growing a godly family. Now, I just wanted to give you a bit of a background on the Sumpton family in regards to this. Jen and I have been married for 21 years. First time I got to 10 years, I said to Jen, it's time for long service leave. And she said, where are we going? I'm like, anyway. We have 6 wonderful kids, 5 of them that are here, but one's that's up in Brisbane. And they're ranging from 18 down to 6. We've lived in multiple different places. We've lived down in Sydney, in Penrith. We've lived in Ethiopia. We've lived in the country town of Cobar, and currently we're living in Maitland. So we've been around. But we've also been through a lot. We've been through quite a bit. I haven't actually got this written down. I hope Jenny doesn't mind me saying this, but we've actually had 10 pregnancies, but only 6 kids. In one of the miscarriages, I actually nearly lost my wife in Ethiopia. Terrible operation that she had, but by God's grace, she's still alive today. Then also for myself, there's many other things that have been going on through Jenny and I, but then also with me, the brain operation that I had where I was told that I wasn't going to be able to see or speak again. God's amazing in and through it all. They said you've got pretty much 100% chance of losing it all. But over our marriage together, we've come to learn some important things. And one of them is that our first commitment is to God. That is our first commitment. Our first commitment is to Him. Then it is together as a couple, and then to our kids. That needs to be, that's the order that we've seen that is very important, that our commitment needs to be with God first and foremost. Then our commitment as a couple, love for one another as a couple, and then to our kids. So these are things that we've seen as being important. You can't have a godly family if you're not first committed in your own relationship, your own relationship with God. So these are just some ideas that we wanted to bring up with you. And hear us, if we can go to the next slide, that'd be great. We're going to be working our way through these 4 things. We're going to be looking at 1, sorry, repent, forgive. 2, heart change leads to behaviour change. 3, don't exasperate your kids. And 4, what do we want to be known for? What do we want to be known for individually, but then also as a church? Alrighty, so the first one, teach your kids to say sorry, repent and forgive. A great passage to be looking at, if you can read that there, is James 5:16. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Who finds it difficult to confess? It's pretty hard, isn't it? It's a hard thing to do. But here is James. Here is God speaking through James. And who is James actually writing to? He's actually writing to other Christians. Just the same as us here this morning, just like us here. Here is James writing to Christians. And here he is saying, confess. Confess your sins to one another. And through that, prayer can take place. We can start praying for one another more deeply, more purposefully, to even to the point for healing to take place in people's lives. But we find it hard. We find it hard to confess. Many of us struggle with the reality of God's forgiveness. God does forgive us. And we misunderstand that way of thinking. But God has given us the gift of forgiveness. Am I reading the wrong one? All right. So here is James 5. James is wanting to tell people to offer prayer for one another, which can bring healing to those that are sick. Sick in the heart, sick in their body. Then James said in verse 16, as I said before, speaking to Christians, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The heal of righteousness of a righteous man is a powerful and effective. James here is giving one type of confession. Confession to one another. And when we confess to one another, we find our burdens are lifted off. Our burdens are lifted off. And this is one thing that we have seen in our kids. As we've said to our kids many, many times, whenever something's gone on, like an issue happened last week where Jono and Daniel, they were mucking around a bit and they were starting to hitting one another. And we actually told them to stop. This is not a great way as brothers to be showing love to one another. Is hitting one another a loving way of showing love to one another? No, it's not. So we actually sat down with them. And one of the things that we always say to our kids is when you're saying sorry, you've got to say sorry for what you're sorry for. You can't just say, oh, I'm sorry, and just leave it at that. You've actually got to say, oh, I'm sorry for hitting you. But when you're actually saying sorry, what you're also saying is you're going to do your utmost best not to do it again. You can't just keep saying sorry and sorry and sorry. You've got to be with that real meaning of, I am sorry, to the point of I'm going to do my utmost best not to do it again. And that's something that even Jenny and I have had to really think about when we say sorry, as we're teaching our kids to actually be living that in our lives ourselves. Rightio, over to number 3. Don't exasperate your kids. And we see this in Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, who's it pointing to? It's pointing to the blokes, but it's also to the parents. But fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. So here we're actually seeing a negative point. Don't exasperate your children. And now we've got it. And then there's a positive aspect. But exasperate. I had to look up that word. For me, being a bloke, I was thinking, what does this word really, really mean? But this word is actually only used twice in the Bible. It's used here in Ephesians, as we see, but it's also found in Romans 10:19. So when I'm seeing words like this, it makes me think, Paul's making a point here. He's really making a point. He's using a word that isn't commonly used. So the negative aspects, fathers, don't exasperate, don't provoke your children. How often do we do that, guys? Let's be honest. We do it, don't we? It is something that we as blokes do. We speak to our kids in some terrible ways. So basically it's saying don't make or irritate your children to anger. As dads, as I said before, this is something that we struggle with. So if it is for us as dads, even as parents, this is something major for us to be reminded of. We need to be reminded of this, not to exasperate our kids. But God is telling parents here as well, don't do things which irritate your kids, that provokes your kids, that frustrates them, that's alienates them. And there is a lot of that that's been done today, isn't there? We are seeing it everywhere. I'm seeing it at school, with kids at school. That this is something that is happening again and again at home. Now for the positive aspect in Ephesians 6:4b. Instead, Instead, bring them, bring your kids up in training and instruction of the Lord. We are called to bring them up, to nurture them to maturity. And we've been hearing some examples of that Jenny's been talking about. This is not merely referring to physical nourishment of the child, but it includes parents to train and instruct their children in the Lord. That's what it says there, isn't it? In the Lord. Parents are to provide, yes, for physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being of their children. But we are to train our children. The building up of our children's mind and morals as kids are growing up. God is to be, as we said at the very beginning, God needs to be the center, yes, of our lives individually, but we also need to be seeing that happening in our kids as well. They need to be having that right relationship with Jesus, with Christ, with God. But before they can come to this center relationship and of this teaching of the Lord, God needs to be the center of their life. God needs to be the center of it. Now, I've got an example here. We all do it, don't we? We all come in halfway through a conversation, just like that. Yeah, that is the question. So is that down to there now? Your audio. So as a church family, how do we want to be known among ourselves as a church family? Is there anybody we need to say sorry to? Because that's a great place to start, isn't it? Is there somebody within our church, in our family here that we need to be saying sorry to? Or is there any behaviour that we need to recognise in ourselves that is not of the culture that we want to promote among ourselves as a church family? Is there anybody we need to forgive? Sometimes we need help in prayer and to be able to be released and to have that freedom and to be free from to forgive. And that's where we'll leave it.